Do you believe in the resurrection?
Amen.
Bunch of white people. And Catholics, most of you. So Protestants and anyone of any ethnicity, do you believe in the resurrection?
Yeah.
All right, good. Amen. Good. Hey, we do this with the Lord. Sometimes we take the power of his life and the reality of what he is about, and we reduce him. Like you go into a church, sometimes you see this maybe. Like the life of Jesus becomes reduced to like a ceramic little depiction, maybe like this big. And we put him on walls. And the walls contain these things, and they're usually like really poorly done. And they make Jesus look really nice, even if what he's going through isn't really nice. But the resurrection changes all this, and when the apostles pray in the Acts of the Apostles, the place where they pray shakes. And sometimes maybe those things need to be shaken. And maybe even fall off and shatter on the ground so that the real power of the resurrection can be brought forth. So for those of you who have no idea what I'm talking about, we had a retreat out at East Helena, Saints Cyril and Methodius, and I happened to accidentally lift a chair and knock the seventh station of the cross off the wall, and it fell, and it shattered. If you know anything about, like, that, if that fell off the wall, it would shatter you and not it. Those things weigh, like, 95 pounds each. However, that happened. And if you know the seventh station, and even if you don't, if you can count to seven, you can find out really quickly that the seventh station is Jesus falls. The second time, okay, and after this incident happened, I gathered all the pieces together, and I put it on a platter, and I brought it to the sacristy, and I told Father Bard about it, and I put a little note, and I said, it is slightly comical that this was the second fall, and he texted me back a picture of it, and he said, the seventh station, Jesus falls the last time. So there we go, all right? There we go. All right, now, listen, the last two Gospels, Gospel today and the Gospel last week, show this power of the resurrection breaking in to change everything, to change everything. And you and I need that power to break in and change everything in our lives. You know, we live in a relativistic culture. The problem is we relativize everything to the wrong thing, especially to ourselves. You know, my truth. I have my truth. You have your truth. We can't talk about anything true because we all have different truths. Well, the gospel says this: relativize everything to the resurrection, to the truth of Jesus Christ, that everything changes. Everything should be seen for the Christian through a lens that acknowledges and affirms the truth of the resurrection. Relativize everything to the resurrection, your time on earth, your talents, even your struggles, and even and maybe even especially your sufferings. See all of that in the light of the resurrection, the reality of the resurrection. You know, we don't proclaim the resurrection as just a nice idea. We proclaim Jesus Christ as truly risen from the dead, body and spirit. That tomb is empty. There is no body to be found. There will be no body to be found because he is risen from the dead. And that changes everything. But that's a truth that blows our minds. And it blows the minds of the apostles in the gospel as well. And so they need to be formed into it. And so do we. So last week and this week, Jesus is about forming his apostles, his disciples, his friends in the reality of his resurrection. And the stories are great. Jesus loves surprising them. Even today, he just appears out of nowhere. And of course, they're startled and terrified, as Luke says. And Jesus says, "Why are you troubled? And why do questions arise in your heart?" "Well, I don't know, because you died. Because you were dead on a cross, and now you're here, and you just appeared out of nowhere." But Jesus has to calm those fears. "It's me. It's me. Look and see. My hands, my feet, my wounds. Look and see. It is I. It's not a ghost. It's not an apparition. It's truly the Lord, risen from the dead." We need that in our lives too, because that encounter changes everything. So Jesus calms their fears by saying, "Look and see." He even takes something and eats it. But then he does something more important. Luke says he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He opened their minds to understand the scriptures. We're going to come back to that by linking it to a word you might not associate with that. But that changes their lives. When they meet the risen Lord, everything changes for them. Everything changes. The way they live their lives, the way they see everything changes because of Jesus Christ risen from the dead. And my friends, I submit that that is not for people 2,000 years ago. That is for you and for me right now. That encounter with the risen Lord is meant to change every part of your life and of mine. And you know what? It does. It does. And it has. And so I want to tell you one of my favorite stories. I've never told this in this chapel. I'm excited. When I was 24, I was teaching at Billings Central. Go Rams. Go Rams. Anybody else? Go Rams. I was teaching religion, and I had been discerning what the Lord was wanting in my life. Starting to feel some rumblings, maybe to give my life in a more committed way, a more profound way. It was a calling that I was trying to discern and respond to. And so it was the year 2000. That in the church was a great year, the Jubilee year, 2000. And one Saturday morning, me and two friends, we decided that we wanted to go to a prayer service that was being offered as the Diocese of Great Falls Billings, the Eastern Diocese, was having their diocesan level celebrations. And so we went to Holy Rosary Parish. The church no longer exists. It has been consolidated into another church. And we went up the stairs, and we were listening to a bishop, the Bishop of Helena. His name was Robert Morlino. It was Bishop Thomas's predecessor. And I've never really heard him speak or anything. But we had heard good things, so we're like, "Let's go." So we go. And there was a, it wasn't mass, it was a word service. They read from the scriptures, 2 Timothy, I think it was. And he was going to preach, give an exhortation, catechesis. And I'll never forget it. He stood up on the sanctuary, and he was a big man. He was not so big. He was big, okay? And he had big hands, and he had his crozier, and he began tapping the crozier. And then he clenched his fist. No words. Everyone's watching. And then he thunders, Jesus Christ is real. He is risen from the dead, and he is real. And I was like, I want to know more about that. Because I had never heard in my life that basic gospel message preached with such conviction. And I want those words to echo off the walls here. For you, Jesus Christ is real. He is risen from the dead, and he is real. And that should change your life in the best possible way. In the best way. What an awesome reality. The Lord has risen from the dead. He has conquered sin and death. And he wants to give you that life. He wants to draw you into his life so that you no longer live shackled by fear and doubt. You no longer live shackled by slavery to sin. And that is what sin does, it enslaves us. Jesus Christ came to earth. He suffered and he died and he rose from the dead to break the bonds that hold us back from being the men and women we are called to be. And that is the great news of the gospel. It's not just good news, it is the great news of the gospel. And we are not called to sit back and sleepwalk through that, but rather we are called to wake up, to be alive in that. Because there's nothing better on this earth, and there will be nothing better in heaven. The life of God, living in that life, living for that life. That's why you were made. That's why you exist. Anything less is too little for you. It's beneath your dignity. And so, what will we do before this truth? Will we live as if that truth were true? We, like the apostles, need to have our minds opened. All the readings include a word that you might not necessarily associate with the resurrection, but you should. And that word is repentance. Repentance. Friends, repentance is the joyful response to the resurrection. Because repentance doesn't mean what we often mean. This shame-filled, oh, I'm awful, I'm a terrible person, oh, I just stink at everything. The Greek word that Peter uses in the first reading is the same word that Jesus uses at the beginning of his ministry in Mark's gospel. Metanoiete, metanoia, it literally means to go beyond the mind you have, to go beyond the mind you have. When we sin, our minds, our hearts, our souls, everything about us is constricted. We live small, broken, fragile lives. But Jesus speaks his truth to call us out of that. He wants to open our minds, expand our horizons, expand the capacity of our heart to love, expand our souls to believe and to live as if the truth of him was true. That is the call. And so we are called to repent. And that means choosing. We can't walk in two directions at one time. We cannot follow Jesus and follow our own will if that will is not aligned to his. We have to live decisively. We have to choose strongly. We can't live as if Jesus was risen on Sunday and then every other day of the week as if I'm the center of the universe, to satisfy ourselves with earthly things, pleasures, comfort, mediocrity, safety. Jesus doesn't call us into any of that. He calls us into greatness. He calls us into the joy of the gospel. He calls us into the adventure of holiness. And so we have to say no to sin. And that means you and I, we need to choose. What will we worship? What will we bow down before? What will we make our lives about? And if it's anything other than Jesus, I'll say it again. It is beneath your dignity. Sin is beneath you. It's not normal. It's only normal for us who have fallen natures. Jesus came. He came. He lived. He suffered. He died. He rose to save us from that reality. And holiness is possible. The Pope just wrote a letter about that. Holiness is possible. And we are called to that. And that is the joy that we are called into. We have to choose in life. I ask you to choose wisely, but I also ask you to choose boldly. Choose wisely, but choose boldly, because Jesus Christ is real. He's risen from the dead, and he is real.